Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. As we have two more weeks in our Saving Grace sermon worship series, today I will be talking about spending in the faithful way, and our time will be wrapped up with a message from Philip next week based on 1 Kings. So I invite you to read that scripture in advance of next week. But today I have three particular scriptures that have informed the sermon this morning, and you are welcome to use your pew Bible. The page numbers are marked in there, or whatever book translation you may have available to you. But I will begin with 1 Timothy from the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 19. Hear now these words. As for those who in the present age are rich, commend them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that reality is life. Our second scripture comes to us from Philippians, from the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And our last scripture verse comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, from the 12th chapter, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Friends, these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we come towards the end of really wrestling and understanding better how our finances can indicate how we live our lives faithfully, have us hear today some insights into what our spending may mean as a witness to the world. May these words that we share today, the collective meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I brought poker chips. And it's funny because they were living in my car, and my newly turned 21-year-old pulled the box out, and he's like, "Mom, what were you doing with poker chips?" And I said, "Oh, they were a sermon illustration." And he said, "Of course they were a sermon illustration," because we talked about how we can give based on a faithful way, right? We began this journey with what does it mean to earn in a faithful way? What does it mean to save in a faithful way? What does it mean to give in a faithful way? What do these things mean for us? And I said, well, with these poker chips, I was trying to show that if you have 10, right? Well, one of the poker chips, 10th of that, would go to whom? God, right? The church. Another 10% would go towards your retirement, right? And so we had 80% or 80 chips left to use. And then, you know, I think it was Mark on the way out that Sunday, he said, "Yeah, but you forgot about taxes." And so in my case, that would take at least another 4 chips. So I'm only left with 4. You know, and so there's some distinction between being self-employed and employed by a company that helps offset some of your tax liabilities. But anyway, that is a conversation for another day. But we were, you know, so I was holding these poker chips, and one of the things were like, okay, well, hypothetically, we'll be generous. We'll take 2 of the chips and mark it for taxes. How about that? Are we comfortable with that? So we've got 10 to God or the church, 10 for retirement, and 2 to the government, because we give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, but ultimately we give all back to God because it's all God's anyway. So we'll just work with the 60%. And so we have the 60%, and the basic things that we have talked about is, what are our basic needs? Well, our basic needs are, one, to have housing, right? We need somewhere to be. 2, we need to eat, so we need to be able to fulfill our hunger needs. We need to be clothed. We can't run around without appropriate clothing. We need to be in good health, right? So what did I forget in terms of our basic needs? Does that cover everything pretty much? I said food. Food. Yeah. Housing, food, clothing, and health, right? So then we can adjust our budgets to do that. And so for John Wesley, he made a certain salary, if you want to say that, a stipend, that even as he progressed in his work, always lived off of that one initial amount. So as his salary increased, he designated it in different ways, but continued to live to make sure his basic needs were met with that one amount. Because he also said, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can, right? That it's not ours to begin with, it's all from God, and we are to use it to build the kingdom of God. And last week, we talked a little bit about, what is enough? How do we know that we have enough? Talked a little bit about shoes, talked about clothing, making sure we had seasonal changing, things like that. And so, hopefully y'all have thought a little bit about what is enough for you. Knowing that your enough may very well change depending on the season of life you are in. And depending on what season of life you are in, you may have expenses that go up and your income go down, or your income may go up and your expenses go up, or maybe your expenses go up, but there's no way you can get your income to increase. You know, it's not matching proportionately. Whatever the circumstances are, sometimes we find ourselves like, how do we manage this? Right? How do we manage this in a faithful way to be what God has called us to be, and that is to be good stewards? To be a good steward is to know that it's not ours to begin with, that it's been entrusted into our care, and we are to use them in a way that is faithful and demonstrates the goodness of God into the world, which means we have to come up with a spending plan. How many of you have an operating budget for your household? I know Rick Whittington does, because, you know, we've talked about that a little bit. And let's see, you have a budget because you're a college student and you know you're busting your tail working 3 jobs, 4, to make sure that your bills are paid. How many, and budget-wise, I'm looking to see. Yeah. So you have a budget, so you know, okay, there's this amount that's coming in, and I'm going to earmark all of these things, right? And we know that that's what it is. How many of you know that the church also has a budget? Yeah, partly because we sent you a letter to tell you about that budget, didn't we? and it is something that we are required to do. And for most situations, whether you are in the corporate world or whether you are in the church or whether you are in your own home, how you craft your budget, your spending plan, says a lot about where your priorities are. Right? So I'm just going to use the church budget because I think that's the one that I'm most familiar with, the most that you would be familiar with. How many of you know what our actual operating budget total amount is for the year? Y'all want to take a guess? This is participatory. What'd you say, Lori? No, it's not on there. I'm telling you how much we need each week, but if you were good at math, you could back calculate, because it says we need $8,000 a week. How many weeks are there in a year? 52, right? So we need about $415,000 to operate Holly Springs each year. Let that sink in for a minute.
I'm not sure I understand.
Shh. Of course, Siri, you don't understand. I don't understand either, but yes, so our operating budget for our church is $415,000. Now, how many of you, what are some of the categories that you would expect to see for a church budget? Sue?
Salaries,
absolutely, right? Your staff, your pastor, your staff, administration, nursery. Yes, so we have staffing. What do you think, Pauline? Mortgage, facility, fees, and maintenance. And those actually would be three separate categories. So our mortgage for our church building is about $56,000. No, I'm sorry. It's closer to $60,000 for the year. So if you take $415,000, $60,000 of that is for the mortgage, then that means there's $350,000 earmarked for other things. Is my math okay this morning? Not really. Okay. All right, so we've got building maintenance and then your building fees. That's trustees, that's utilities, lights, groundskeeping, janitorial service, all of the same. What other categories would we have? Right, right. Like, what are those things that you need to actually function? Like, we got a new copier, bulletin paper, toner for the printer, papers, pencils, whatever it is, right? So we do have a budget for that as well. What's something else we might budget for?
Church also has a budget for apportionments.
Yeah, so a church also has a line item for our apportionments. Anybody know what an apportionment is? Melissa, what's an apportionment? Right, because the conference has a budget too, right? Because they have their own staff, their own building, their own work, and we as churches provide that income to help with their budget. So our apportionments for this year, was it 40,000, 39 and 5? I know it's gone up, so it might have been $42,000. So with our mortgage and our apportionments, we're already taking 25% of our operating budget out of the play. Right? And we are going to get back to why apportionments are important. What other category would we have as a church? So we call that our family fund. It's a benevolence account where, you know, some of you very generously give to that. That is actually not part of our budget, but it is a designated fund that we use to do that. But yes, it is something that we capture as a church. I'm looking for something specific here. What's something else that we do? Well, that's under trustees. Outreach, mission, ministry. Oh my goodness, why are we here as a church? What is our objective? To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, right? Everything that you guys have talked about are all the infrastructure overhead type of things, right? Staffing, building, utilities. The reality is for us as a church right now, our budget line item for mission and ministry for this church is about 5% of our operating budget. Let that sink in for a second. 5% for spiritual formation, mission work, spiritual growth, worship. 5%. If I was looking at our budget from that perspective, if I've said how we categorize our spending speaks to our priorities, how much priority would our current budget have as it relates to spiritual formation and our mission fulfillment? Not a lot, right? And here is where we move from a technical budget to something called a narrative budget. How we tell our story of how we spend our money significantly shifts how it's perceived in our faithful way of living. Okay, so let's start with that. Philip, you mentioned apportionments, which we said is about 10% of our operating budget now. It is to pay the conference, and every bit of that money is used for mission and ministry. So now we're up to 15% of our operating budget for mission and ministry and spiritual growth. Okay? Our mortgage, which is our worship space and our trustees' items, it's about 25% of our budget. We are not the only ones who use this space. The town of Holly Springs uses the parking lot as public parking every day of the week for those people who work in the buildings. We have an NA group that meets here once a week. They will have a gathering here on Saturday. We have an Al-Anon group that meets here once a week, and they also have had a quarterly gathering. We have scouts, both girls and boys, who use our facilities on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights. And Wednesday nights, actually, if I'm going to be honest. So our building is being used that way as well. We have a vision support group that meets once a month. We also house the newcomers of Holly Springs and Friends Club once a month. Our facility provides space for other groups to gather and to learn and to grow together. And if we think about our space as a gift that can be used abundantly, we have now increased our missional budget as a church by another 25%. Do you see how shifting the narrative and how we articulate things changes our perspective and how things perceive as prioritization priorities for us? Now, here's the thing that I struggle with a lot, particularly at Charge Conference going into the new year, is my salary package. I cannot do what I do if I did not have the staff that we have. Let me be very clear about that. If I did not have Jill, if I did not have Kathy, if we did not have the nursery staff that we have, I would not be able to do what I do on a day-to-day basis. They are a phenomenal gift to you as a community and to this greater community. And let me not forget my musician staffs, because without you, we don't have worship. Make sense? Because I'm not minimizing that either. But I also know as a clergy person, there are certain expectations. Does anybody know what my compensation package is as a pastor for this church that includes salary, housing, utilities, continuing education, travel, health insurance, pension, life insurance? Anybody want to throw a number out there? Yeah, you'll look it up. Let's just spitball here. What do you think? Higher. Higher. With everything, we're about $125,000. $125,000 for me to be employed here. That's everything in a package. And it is so hard as a pastor to know that 25% of our operating budget supports me. Because I don't want to be the mission of the church. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I don't want to be the mission of the church. So how do I narrate that in a way that is faithful to a spending plan for God? My being here means I can support all of you to help guide and lead this congregation to be faithful to our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I don't want to be your mission, but I will help you be the mission to the world. And so we have narrated our budget in such a way to show where our priorities are. And that can happen at home too. How you allocate for education, how you allocate for entertainment, how you allocate your budget for food and activities. To think about what is God calling you to, and how do you be faithful with what you have? How many of you have made recent purchases lately? Well, how many of you went shopping this weekend? Okay, I can tell you I saw Deborah at Lowe's and Food Lion, but I was incognito because I had a baseball cap on, so I don't think she recognized me. I saw Emily at Food Lion, but I had a baseball cap, so I was kind of incognito. But we went shopping, right? And I wanted to come to dinner because you had a big old piece of meat in your arms, Emily, and I'm like, that's going to turn out really great. And this is part of the reason why I moved, because I wanted to be able to run into people that I'm connected with at the grocery store and at Lowe's. Even if I was just trying to get in and get out, I hadn't had a shower and I didn't smell terribly well. And so I just like, I'll just keep going, right? Next time I'll say hello, I promise. You know, but the fact that I can run into you, I know that we've gone shopping. But what is our motivation to going shopping? There are times when I hit a low point in my life and I say I need some retail therapy. How many of you have done that? Yeah, I need retail therapy. And you just go like your favorite store. I mean, my favorite place is probably Home Goods because I just love all of the things, right? And then I see something, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. I love this. And then I'm like, I'll get it. And then I think, do I really need this? Right? Oh, but it's on clearance. It's such a great deal. I'll use it. How many of y'all have had that? You know, be like, this is a great price. I need to get it now. Do I really need it? Because sometimes when we do that retail therapy or we're doing something, we're trying to fulfill some type of emotional need that we maybe aren't aware of. Which calls us back to, are we being mindful of our spending? Are we being mindful of being good stewards with what's been entrusted into our care? Are we demonstrating our faithfulness through our spending to the world? And there are very concrete, real ways to do that. And that's what we're called to do, whether it's in our personal budgets and our lives, or whether it's as a church to really reflect upon where we are and where we hope to be, how we tell our story, how we tell our spending plan shows how faithful we can be together. So my hope and my prayer is that in a little bit of humor and a little bit of gut check and a lot of whole reality of where we are, that we can receive the gift of God's grace to recognize our mindfulness, both with our earnings, our savings, our giving, our spending, and how we tell that story, and how we share that story to the world. So I give thanks for your patience for the past 6 weeks, it had been incredibly awkward to talk about money in the life of the church because nobody wants to talk about money, not in real, concrete, tangible ways. And yet that is one place where we can do a whole lot of good of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. When we find those places of intersection between the way people live and the way God calls us to live faithfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.